It's Weekends on All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Jackie Lydon, and it's time now for music. Tad Dameron was called the architect of bop. He was a composer and pianist who fused the sophisticated arrangements of the big band era with the complex harmonies of bebop. He wrote songs that became standards. He mentored a generation of musicians. He helped to change modern music. But over the decades, Tad Dameron's name has faded into obscurity. Now, a new biography is calling attention to this forgotten jazz master. Tom Vitale has the story.
In the 1940s and 50s, Tad Dameron worked with everyone who was anyone in jazz, from Miles Davis to Artie Shaw, Count Basie to John Coltrane. Everything Dameron touched had one thing in common, says Paul Combs, author of Dameronia, The Life and Work of Tad Dameron.
A penchant for lyricism. Almost everything that he writes has a very lyrical grace to it.
Tad Dameron made complex music with little formal education. He was born in Cleveland on February 21, 1917, where he began playing piano at the age of four. In 1952, in the only known recording of his voice, Dameron told disc jockey Harry Frost that everyone in his family was a musician.
Mother played piano, my father played piano and sang, my brother plays alto, my cousins and aunts, uncle played guitar and bass.
Where did you get your early training?
Well, through my mother, to teach me piano, you know, but not to read just by heart, you know, by memory.
By the time he was 23, Dameron was composing and arranging for a Kansas City swing band, Harlan Leonard's Rockets. In the early 1940s, Dameron moved to New York, where he embraced the new sound called bebop, with its driving rhythms and difficult harmonies. He began writing for the movement's pioneers, Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie. Hot House became a bebop standard, as did Dameron's compositions Good Bait and Lady Bird. Dameron started arranging for Billy Eckstein, who led the first bebop orchestra. Tad Dameron brought form to the kinetic new music. He said his sense of harmony came from the classical impressionists.
In the vein of Debussy or Ravel.
Your writing is imaginative, but still it has melody and it has continuity to it. So many of these modern fellows seem to get lost in their own arrangements.
I try to make it flow. You know, it's just like reading a book. It's just a regular story. You know, you just can't have one idea and then you jump to another one. I try to make it flow coherent, you know.
That sense of structure made Dameron the most important arranger of the bebop era, says biographer Paul Combs.
Tad brings this larger compositional framework into bop, where a lot of the boppers were just about, let's play the tune and set off some fireworks and play the next tune, you know. Much more care in all of that. And that's a big, big influence.
Thank you. Dameron formed his own band and hired the best players of the younger generation, including trumpeter Miles Davis, who went on to use some of Dameron's ideas in his groundbreaking Birth of the Cool sessions. But like so many of his colleagues in the post-war era, Tad Dameron became addicted to heroin. In 1958, he was busted. He spent the next 3 years in a federal narcotics prison in Lexington, Kentucky. Ira Gittler supervised two of Dameron's recording sessions in the 1950s and went on to write several books on the bebop era. Gittler says while Dameron was in prison, he kicked his habit.
When he came back to New York, I ran into him and we were talking, and he came up to my apartment. I had a piano. You know, we really connected. He was a very mellow, beautiful man.
A man who had been through a lot. In a 1947 interview in Metronome magazine, Tad Dameron said, "There's enough ugliness in the world. I'm interested in beauty." That was the whole point of Dameron's arrangements, says biographer Paul Combs.
Even when the harmonies are very advanced, he's never drawing attention to that. They're all at the service of making this beauty that he wants to put out in the world as a balm for the ugliness and strife.
Ira Gittler put it this way.
Well, his melodies were so beautiful, but at the same time, they swung. He was airborne to me. You know, he was in the heavens before he got there.
Tad Dameron got to the heavens all too soon. When he died from cancer on March 8, 1965, he was just 48 years old. For NPR News, I'm Tom Vitale in New York.